through the stories that you tell of these children. I want to thank you so very much, Sari and Dana, for joining us on A Public Affair on WORT 89.9 FM Madison. I've been Sari Gabler, your guest host today. Our sound engineer has been Summer, receptionist Lainey, and news director Shali Pittman. Up next is Mel and Floyd. Keep it tuned here, WORT 89.9 FM Madison.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
You're listening to WORT Madison.
Wow! I feel good. I knew that I wouldn't. I feel good. I knew that I wouldn't. So good. So good. I got you. Wow! I feel nice. A sugar and spice. I feel nice. A sugar and spice. So nice. So nice. I got you.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to the Mel and Floyd Summer Replacement Show. I'm Mel. Floyd is on assignment again, but back with us after a week's absence, Mr. Smarty Pants.
I am he.
Hi.
Hi.
Do anything interesting on your week off?
a couple things. First, before I say anything else. I just want to do a big shout out to our Airbnb host when we were in Washington, D.C. We were in Georgetown, and her name is Jan, and Jan was a gem. Jan was amazing. And Jan lived in a really, really beautiful townhouse. And so she had converted part of, recently widowed, she converted part of it to an Airbnb, which was gorgeous and wonderful. But she could not stand to be in our nation's capital when you know who was inaugurated. And so she decamped to Manhattan. And she said, you can live in my house for the next 3 days.
I want nothing to do with it.
So we lived a life to which we are unaccustomed.
Oh, very nice.
Really, very nice. It's a beautiful, beautiful house. And I was just so bowled over by it. I was kind of like, this is so kind and so trusting. Like, you don't even know us. I mean, we had a few drinks together, but, you know, she didn't really know us. And she said, and I thought this was funny because somebody else said this too, somebody else I met in Washington. She said, well, you're from the Midwest, she said. Like, that makes us trustworthy. And I thought, there's bad people in the Midwest.
There's a lot of bad people out here.
We even have cannibals out here. You know, I mean, we're famous for them. You know?
More than one.
More than one, yes. Two is too many. But here's the thing that I think might actually have been going on in the background. Jan's retired. She used to work for the National Security Council. In fact, she used to work for Dr. Kissinger.
Oh,
so
okay.
She probably knows everything about us.
Oh, sure. So. She knows you're a big Kissinger fan.
Who isn't? He seems like a brilliant man now, right? I mean, compared to the crazy people we have. But no, she...
So you were in D.C.
We were in D.C.
For the inaugural.
We were going to go to the inauguration until... you know who pulled the plug. Yeah. And because we went to get the
cold.
Tickets. Well, it wasn't even, it was not Wisconsin cold.
Yeah.
Definitely not Wisconsin cold. And not even John F. Kennedy cold. You know, that was a very cold inauguration.
Yeah.
You see that, when you see films of that, they're all, you know, you can see the exhalations
right.
and so on.
Right.
It was 22 degrees when JFK was inaugurated in 1961. It was in the upper 20s.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, half of those people were from the South, and half of that were, they were on oxygen. So Trump was probably worried that he wasn't going to get the
picture.
The pictures, yeah. He wasn't going to. In fact, Companion was ready with the camera to do a 360 of how empty it was, but we didn't get that opportunity.
Mm.
So I was looking forward to it because I thought, well, this will be a chance to talk to people and ask them about things. But Companion wisely pointed out that I probably wouldn't be able to do that very well. We were sitting in a bar having having a beer and a burger, and I looked over to the next table, and there was two couples there who had obviously shown up for the inauguration. And the guys were big and burly, and the girls were small and mousy. So they, you know, I thought, all right, it's probably for here for the inauguration. And I was confirmed in this when the guy took his jacket off, and he had this black T-shirt on, and it said Second Amendment on the back in big letters. And I thought, okay, I can handle that. And then there was a skull in the middle of it with two pistols crossed. And I thought, okay, I can handle that. And then it said at the bottom, 1789. And I thought, that MF doesn't even know when the Bill of Rights was passed. It made me think of the time I was doing the virtual tour of the Creation Science Museum in Florence, Kentucky.
Yeah.
And they had Adam and Eve riding on dinosaurs. Right. Or whatever. You know, let the baby have its bottle. But they had a saddle and stirrups. We know when saddles and stirrups were invented. You're just insulting me now. You know, it's like 1789 was not when the Bill of Rights was passed. Not when the Second Amendment was.
And did so you at explain one point, that to him?
No. At one point, a companion said, "You're arguing with that T-shirt." He said, "Yeah, okay, I'll calm down now."
To a standstill. Yeah. Well, most people in our focus group thought the T-shirt made a lot of good points.
Made a lot of good points. At the very moment that
undecided voters,
the very moment that that Trump became our 47th president, Companion and I were watching The Brutalist in a theater there in Georgetown, which seemed appropriate.
So. I thought you were going to say the skies opened up.
Yeah, the rain of frogs began.
The demons came down.
Well, it's appropriate what he did because he's got all the insiders inside, right? He put them all in the Capitol building, all of the great and the near great. And then there was a rally, I think it was the night before or two nights before, that he had in some arena in town. We weren't going to go to that.
Yeah.
But the funny thing was when we picked up the tickets, you can get them from your representative. So we went to Mark Pocan's office. And, you know, you walk into Mark Pocan's
office. They probably had a lot of tickets available.
Well, I don't know. I didn't ask that, tell you the truth. But they had a lot of, transgender flags and things like that all over the place. And this little guy behind the counter, which I kind of clocked as gay, and he said, "Hey, we're here for our, you know, our tickets," and he got this really kind of nervous look. He said, "Oh, okay." And look at his face. Probably at the least surliness he's probably gotten from other people.
Right, right.
And I just said, "We're not fans." And he was like, "Oh, thank goodness." So he showed us around and took a picture of us and stuff like that. So it was very nice.
The flags are probably just for protection, you know, to scare people away.
Right. Well, I told him we wanted to look right at the heart of darkness. Yeah. So, you know. I get that, he said.
One time I was walking on State Street during my lunch hour, and there was a small group of people that were obviously from out of town. It was probably during a sports thing, the basketball tournaments or something. And they were looking for a place to eat, and they were kind of, you know, mulling some ideas here, and you know, how about this place? And then they pop into this one place, and then they pop right out, and the guy goes, "Nope, they had a gay flag in there."
Yeah,
he just wouldn't have anything to do with that
upset
place.
His stomach. Yeah,
yeah, thing, yeah, yeah. You know, because he doesn't want like gay people waiting on him.
Yeah, so. Yeah. Because there's really absolutely zero gay waiters in the world, is what I've heard. Oh, you get all.
Did you talk to anybody? Did you?
You know, it's funny. We didn't end up, and we had wonderful conversation with Jan. We ran into a couple of people at different events.
You just stayed in the bubble.
It was hard not to stay in the bubble. I mean, Washington D.C. is a wonderful place with lots of things happening. Has one of the highest per capita level of like graduate degrees of any city in the country. Sure. Obviously, because at one time it was based on ability that you got a job there. Like Jan, we went to see the Impressionist exhibit they had at the National Gallery of Art, and there was a wonderful woman, Nicole. Shout out to Nicole from Lowell, Massachusetts, and she was just as friendly as can be, and we had a wonderful time talking to her. And then we went to a concert at the Kennedy Center. It was a brass quintet, and there was a lovely, very elderly lady sitting next to us, but she really was into it. And at some point, she started crying. I could tell she was right next to me, and she started crying, and I started crying a little bit myself. And so during the intermission, I said that really moved you, and we started having a nice conversation. Oh. And there was just so many pleasant, wonderful people there. I thought, what a shame these people are all going to lose their jobs, and the thugs are going to be moving in. But at any rate, that's my particular perspective. So, yeah, lots of bookstores. Oh, my gosh. We lived, so we were...
Bookstores.
In Georgetown, yeah. I bought more books than I bought in ages. Just, I don't know. So it was not the experience that I anticipated, but it was a good experience nonetheless.
So, There was some counter protest or
something.
Yeah,
the protests were not very well attended. Yeah. And it was, I think it was kind of like, well, you know what? What we, you know, let's wait for an event. Let's wait for a thing. Let's wait for...
That's not a bad idea.
I mean, you know, the thing about it is, in some respects, Trump is the center of attention. But in many respects, as we all know, he's epiphenomenal. He's he's the crazy clown. And it's the fact that they had all this stuff ready to go.
Yeah.
And you see these pictures of all of these executive orders like already on his desk.
Like hundreds.
He didn't
of
come
them.
Up with that.
No.
That's not him. He didn't do any of that.
No.
Those people have been waiting for 4 years to inflict their awful reign of terror on us.
I mean, a lot of those were boilerplate from the Project 2025 that they had nothing to do with.
Yeah, I never heard of it. What are you talking about?
Yeah. So
That guy's a liar. I don't know if you noticed that.
Oh, my goodness.
Hard to imagine.
I wonder if people know that about him.
I don't know.
We should tell
someone. They think he's teasing us. He's just kidding. That's what over and over again, you hear these people say, I didn't know he was going to do that. He said he was going to do that. Well, I figured he was just exaggerating.
Well, he lies so much.
Yeah,
I figured he was lying this time.
So Companion had a conversation with his brother who likes the president, and the conversation they had was very much like that. It's like, well, but he's doing this. And he said, well, you know, I thought he was kidding about that, or I didn't believe him. So you voted for the guy that you knew was lying to you.
That used to be kind of disqualifying.
Yeah, that's why I have my
flip-flopper.
I miss Nixon thing up in my office.
We knew he was lying.
Yeah, like,
his lips were moving.
You could see the wheels turning. Anyway. Oh. So what do you think?
Mount McKinley.
I mean, he's got the gold standard.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That's going to be coming. You know it is. He's got the tariffs.
Well, it'll be the cyber gold standard.
Yeah, right. Exactly. I mean, why not go the whole hog with McKinley? You know, I mean, just rename the mountain after him. Yeah. Apparently, the people in Alaska are not too thrilled about
that. Yeah. How did McKinley presidency turn out, by the way?
Bang.
At the end. Went out with a bang. Huh?
Yeah.
Okay. Just looking at history.
Yes, well, Caesar had his Brutus and Charles his Cromwell. May George III profit from their example. He wants to rename. We all know this now. The name of the peak, the tallest peak in North America, Denali, after one of our most, I would say, uninspiring presidents. There's a wonderful statue of William McKinley outside of the Ohio State House, and you have this like woman, you know, the statue of this woman, and her arm is going
like,
you know, forward,
Liberty,
and she's holding a baby in her to her breast, and there's a man with a hammer, and he's you know, he's kind of got very heroic and muscular, and and they're all this, the whole crowd of all these people are all thrusting forward to this little dumpy man in a morning coat.
Hi. I'm your hero. I'm your leader.
William McKinley. You know, the William McKinley birthplace in Canton, we went there, and what's funny about it is it draws so few visitors now that they've added something, which is... It's
like a KFC or what? Yeah.
No, it's a dino park as well. And the segue is so threadbare. It says, President McKinley was always interested in science.
Oh,
so
God.
Here are your dinosaurs.
Oh, that's funny. That's like right out of The Simpsons. Yeah,
yeah. He's history's greatest monster. Yeah,
right. McKinley/Dinosaur Park.
Just to hold the little one's interest.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah.
So, we had it when I was growing up. We had a grade school named after McKinley, but they just kind of slapped presidents' names on schools back then. We had a Roosevelt, McKinley. They didn't even tell us which Roosevelt it was.
Yeah, whatever.
You know, we don't care.
It's a generic term.
we had a Lincoln. I went to Washington, which was the best. Of course.
I went to McGuffey.
McGuffey. What
at
is
least
that?
Well, remember the McGuffey Reader? An actual education thing.
No,
you know,
we just had Lincoln and Washington and McKinley and Roosevelt. And
nope, not us.
Not Hoover. We didn't have a Hoover though.
You just lived in Hooverville.
No,
right?
Hooverville. Pretty close. So remember when Trump asked Big Oil to raise $1 billion for him, and he said they could do whatever they want then?
Yeah.
They're so lame. They only raised $500 million for him.
Well, they can only do half of what they want.
In the last election cycle, $445 million from Big Oil to influence Trump and Congress. So
what? But that makes sense to me. Why would you blow your money on influencing a guy whose theme is drill, baby, drill?
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah,
like, what are you going to get more than what you're already getting.
On day one, he declared two emergencies. He declared an energy emergency and an emergency at the south border.
Yeah.
And I don't know if they ever actually did this, but they were talking about language like calling that an invasion.
There's a legal definition.
Well, I know, but I mean, there's legalities. What should they maybe take it to the Supreme Court and get their opinion on it?
See how drunk the boofter is that day.
See if Clarence needs a new
RV. New RV. Yeah, that's not.
But
exact,
no, but that, but
that's not exactly the school of Athens, is it?
The school of Winnebago. but if they use the term invasion, then that opens up a lot of things they can do.
Sure.
Because, you know, back in, you know, 250 years ago, invasion meant something different. It was, you were under direct threat of something, you know, physical threat here. And they want to use those same standards to approach whatever is bothering them about this. I guess people are too brown or something.
And the Second Amendment was passed in 1789, so.
So, analysts say these investments from the oil companies in the election are likely to pay dividends as Trump unleashes dozens of pro-fossil fuel executive actions. Mm. So,
I did hear he was changing the little Latin thing on the coins, you know, where it says E Pluribus Unum.
Yeah.
It's now ka-ching. Easier to remember.
I love that, like, the day he got inaugurated, maybe it was the day before, he came up with some Trump crypto coin.
Yeah, I know.
And then next day, Melania came out with one. Yeah.
Well, the thing that was funny about that was the First Lady's crypto coin actually eclipsed the president slightly.
Yeah, well, it was like, you can match up the sales and the redemptions based on, you know, together, like all kinds of people sold like $50 million worth of Trump coin, and then they bought $50 million worth of Melania coin or whatever it is. But I mean, it's just money laundering,
exactly.
And bribery.
I was talking to a colleague who's a very strong supporter of Trump, and I said, don't you worry a little bit about the fact that he's got all these billionaires around him now? That seems a little antithetical to what he was talking about during the campaign. And she was like, I'm not worried about it. So,
well, they're smart. They're rich.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, I've said this before, they know how to make money, but knowing how to make money and knowing how an economy works are not the same thing.
Right.
You know, if you have this view that, of course, whatever helps the people that are the wealthiest will inevitably help everybody else, I guess it makes sense. But if you understand how an economy works, you realize that's not true.
Yeah, but if you're rich, you don't have to worry about what's true, because what you believe is true.
Oh, I see. Too. So the mind-bending power.
You have the power to warp reality.
I see. So. Well, right now, the U.S. economy is on track to grow faster than previously expected, according to the International Monetary Fund. And on Friday, they said that today, they said that it's a labor market in particular, and an acceleration in investment shows that things are actually going pretty well here. The IMF projects a 2.7% U.S. economic growth in 2025, and that's before any of Trump's crazy stuff comes into effect. So he's already sitting on a giant pile of, you know, relatively good economic news. Again, if you pull back and look at the big picture and don't focus on how inequitable it is. But nonetheless, I mean, he's got to see if he can knock that critter flat. I mean, it's just like, yet another story today where somebody's saying, he's really going to, this is a recession, approach to economy.
Well, that was, you know, my point earlier about the emergencies when you know, and we've seen this, we saw it with Scott Walker. I mean, it's the shock doctrine. We've seen it, you know, in a lot of other countries where, it's an emergency. You got to let us do these things because otherwise it's going crazy and we got to fix these. And you know, we just need these emergency powers now. And like when Scott Walker was elected, it's like, the state is in this terrible financial shape. Yeah. You all got to chip in and help here, which I don't mind. Like as a state employee, I didn't mind. You know, it's like, if they're not bringing in as much money, I'll contribute my share here sure. and, you know, forego a raise or something. Yeah. But then, you know, but then they never flip it back when times are good
yeah.
and say, okay, now it's time to, you know, time to reward you for
yeah.
being part of the team here. Right. Then it's like, let's give all the money away to the rich people.
And even in those cases where you might agree with their diagnosis of what needs to be done, it's not what they're going to do.
Well, yeah.
You know, I mean, it's just like, this is just an excuse.
Yeah.
So, I mean, this the situation right now with DEI is like, are there, you know, fanatics in terms of DEI? Is there an ideology that possibly could be critiqued? I guess.
Yeah.
You could think about that. I mean, but is that what they're about? No. They're just about getting rid of it. You know, like, how is that helping anything?
Right. So, well, it's also a way of filtering for people who are pliable and compliant.
Right.
Saying,
right.
will these people do what I tell them to do? And that's, right. you know, that's the authoritarian aspect here,
right.
that we want to be able to control, you know, everything here. And we don't want any pushback. We don't want right. anybody out telling us we're wrong, even if we are
yeah.
ridiculously wrong. So, but and that's the idea of the...
Well, that's the religious concept
yeah.
coming into play. I don't need reasons. I just need everybody to agree.
Yeah.
As long as you say amen, we're fine. If you don't say amen, then I get really worried because I don't have any good reason for this.
Yeah.
You
know? So. Now, we forget that executive orders aren't laws.
No.
And but this idea of coming up with hundreds and hundreds of executive orders and just, you know, ruling by fiat essentially is
by crap storm.
It's a way of, you know, consolidating power. I mean, yeah. they're kind of sidelining the legislative branch.
Sure.
And they're going right, you know, they know they're going to get sued on a lot of these. They already right. have been by right. a few. And,
well, the attempt to change the Constitution is
yeah,
one.
Yeah, so.
Change the 14th Amendment.
Yeah, so, well, this is a nice little corollary to that story. So they want to get rid of birthright citizenship.
Right.
And, but the Justice Department has called into question the citizenship of Native Americans born in the United States under the 14th Amendment, citing 19th century law that excluded Native Americans from birthright citizenship. So they want to say that Native Americans, people who have been here for thousands of years,
yeah.
don't have citizenship. So, and actually, that's a total lie because this has been settled in court over the years.
Oh, in 1789?
Well, not in 1789. It's more like 1924.
No,
or
but
something.
I mean, it's they're just making it.
Well, yeah, but I mean, you know, well, it's like, you know, going back to the Salem witch trials to justify the abortion ruling. I mean, yeah. you know, it doesn't matter. We'll go back as far as we want. Yeah. You know, even though there have been precedents set after that.
Well, what's the point of being defined? Rational if you can't rationalize?
Yeah. So just the idea that, well, everybody born here is a citizen, except the Native Americans, which is like just, that's
I would take that deal, actually. I don't have anything to do with this.
Well, where are they going to...
You guys, get off our land.
Where are they going to deport them?
Yeah. Internal immigration is what they used to call it under the old Soviet Union.
And, you know, and I warned you. I said this was coming.
Yeah.
House Republican introduces amendment allowing Trump to run for third term.
Yeah.
But not Obama or Bill Clinton, because they want to build in this thing about the non-consecutive terms, and it's just a proposal in Congress. You know, you'd have to.
That means does that mean he has to be out another term?
I don't know. They'll rewrite it however they want to make it fit. But
when Dr. Dementia finally gets to the end of this term, I'm not sure any of them are going to want him to do the next.
Well, that's one. I mean, that clock is definitely ticking there. But I said this was happening. They're
yeah.
you know, it's like, yeah, third term would be great.
All hail the leader.
Yep, exactly. So,
but, hey, there was a letter that got sent to the UN Secretary General this week.
I don't know
if you heard this.
It
was dated January 20th. And it was sent by the president of Panama, Jose Raul Molino, and he said that I must reject in its entirety. This was right after the inauguration speech. I must reject in entirety the words expressed by President Donald Trump regarding Panama and its canal in his inaugural address.
He means our canal.
Yeah, and its canal.
America's canal.
Yeah. So the letter to Antonio Guterres continued. Basically pointing out the two articles of the UN Charter that prohibit member states from using threats and force against, this is the quote, the territorial integrity or political independence of another state. And basically what the president of Panama was trying to say, President Molina was trying to say, is that the president of the United States is in violation of the UN Charter.
Wow.
And, of course, we've already, you know, Bush basically undid the Geneva Convention. So every time we have a new one, every new Republican president makes the old Republican president look like a piker. You know, like I could do even more. You got, you know, you did this, I can do that.
World Health Organization, yeah, we don't want to be part of that. Because we already had our pandemic, and yeah, we handled it great. So yeah,
bird flu is going really well right now.
So. Trump's tax plan is out. So and this is a lot of numbers. I'll try not to overdo it on the numbers here. But for the under this tax plan, the poorest 20% of the people who make about like $28,000 or less.
Okay.
Their taxes are going to go up about $800.
Of course.
Oh. The second.
We call that the SERF class. S-E-R-F.
The SERF tax.
Yeah, the SERF tax. It's the SERF charge.
Good one. So the second 20%, people making about $28,000 to $55,000, their taxes are going to go up about $1,400.
Okay. Is this families now, or are we talking?
Yeah, this would be household income.
Household, yeah, okay.
So middle 20%, about 55 to 94,000. So you're getting to like middle class people. Their taxes are going to go up about $1,500 under the Trump tax plan.
Okay.
The fourth 20%, 94,000 to like 155 or so.
Mm-hmm.
Went up $1,800. So everybody's taxes are going up a little bit.
Okay.
And you know, that and that's
sense.
Fair.
That
and then. That's 80%. Mm-hmm. No, that's 1, 2, 3. Oh, okay. Next 15% here. Their taxes are going to go up $600. They make $150,000 to $360,000 a year, so their taxes are going up in raw numbers less than the poorest people.
Wow.
And then now we're getting to the top here.
Uber rich.
We're in the top 5% here.
Yep.
The 4% of that, of the 5%,
sure,
300,000 to under like 900,000, so under a million.
Wow.
Their taxes are going to go down $7,000. And the richest 1%.
They've been taxed too much.
Yeah, well, then they can create some more jobs.
Yeah.
And then the richest 1%, so $900,000 and above, their taxes are going to go down $36,000.
Daddy needs a new island,
new rocket ship. Oh, wait a minute. Those guys don't pay taxes.
Yeah, that's the thing that's funny about that. Of course, that's like ideally.
Yeah, that's, I mean, that's it. These
they're
are people.
Not, they're not paying.
These are people
squat.
like getting real jobs that pay that with withholding and stuff.
Right,
but
right.
People like Musk and Bezos, they don't really. They'll take a salary for a dollar or something, and then they just borrow money from based on their stock holdings
and
live off that, and then that's, I don't know. There's little games you can play like that, well, I mean, Warren Buffett said his secretary pays a higher percentage in taxes than he does.
He could change that. He could pay more.
So the poorest people have to pay $800 more. The richest people get $36,000 less.
Well, it all depends on what hand gestures you make at various celebrations. That's what's going on there. By the way, did you hear that Reddit users have banned links to X?
Yes, after a lot of them.
The anomalous, whatever that was Musk was doing.
That was quite a thing on Reddit this week. It was everywhere. People were pretty vehement about it. So good for them. So.
Yeah, well, I heard somebody say, "Oh, well, that's not a big deal. I'm more worried about politics or policies, pardon me, or whatever." And I was like, "Okay." Dude, you want to know what is on this guy's mind? That's kind of a key to what the policies are going to be.
Right,
you know?
Yeah. So.
It says something about intentions. And
well, and like it's the usual thing where they do it, and then they try to weasel out of it and make jokes about it.
I was just drunk.
Oh, no, I was just
waving. Oh, wait, that's excess.
I was waving, and then I saw a video side by side of like one of the Proud Boys doing their thing, and it was exactly the same.
Of course
he pounds on his chest and then thrusts his arm in the air.
Yeah.
I mean, they said, well, it's the Roman salute.
It is.
Yeah.
That is. That's where the Nazis got it from.
The Nazis thought they were
the new Rome. Yeah, I mean, right, so, yeah, as, so as we apparently do now. But, yeah. So Bernie Sanders wrote a nice piece here that was in The Guardian about in response to Trump's first speech, his inaugural speech.
Okay.
And I won't read the whole thing, but he pointed out that, first of all, he says, needless to say, I disagree with almost everything he had to say. But what struck me, however, is not what he said, which was not surprising, but what he didn't say. The simple truth is Trump gave a major speech, the first speech of his second presidency, and ignored almost every significant issue facing the working families of this country. He talks about health care, homelessness, the income and wealth inequality, and none of those were mentioned. Global warming, clean energy, those were all completely absent.
Hmm. It's almost like he was a liar or something.
Bernie mentions the absurdly low federal minimum wage of $7.25 an hour. And but I thought that was interesting that he you know, to try to get away from the crazy stuff about, yeah, you know, let's get the Greenland or something.
Right.
It's like, no, these are real issues. These are things. Everything that they're doing now, that the Trump people are doing now, is a solution in search of a problem, because yeah, these are not problems. These, yeah, things that they're going after, the DEI, mm-hmm, trans people, immigrants,
the war on sharks,
the war on windmills.
Windmills.
I did see one of the executive orders was about low flow showers and toilets.
Of course, there was. You know, that guy must have the most ridiculously sludge like poop of any human being, because he seems obsessed about toilets that can't handle his giant golden dumps.
Well, look at his diet.
Yeah, I know. It's like, what is that? That's just like this huge thing for him. And I guess by the same token, he must have a hard time covering his body with water all at the same time or something, you know, because he's also really worried about those showers.
Well, it's his hair. He's got the hair. He's got to spend, his routine.
His hair has changed a little bit, if we can be.
It's not quite as creamy.
It's not as creamy. It's not as buoyant either. He's lost some buoyancy.
Yeah.
I wonder what's going on there. And it's just kind of like, I mean, let's talk about the important issues here.
So let's treat him like a female candidate. Yeah, yeah. What did he wear?
He's so catty about everybody else. I mean, you know.
Look at his makeup.
Oh, my God. He doesn't seem as orange. I will say that.
No, he doesn't. He's toned back
on the orange a little bit. So. Yeah.
But, hey, you're listening to the Mel and Floyd
show. By the way, I just want to mention before you do the little mini outro. They gave you official portraits of you got a package, you know, with an official booklet and everything with the tickets. And they gave you official portraits of the new president and vice president.
Yeah.
And, you know, the vice president looks fairly normal.
Sure.
And Trump tried to do, and at first we were
He tried
confused.
To do his tough face.
He tried to do
his mugshot.
Yeah, his mugshot.
Yeah.
And it was like, really? Seriously? You're going with that? I mean, it looked ridiculous.
Well, that's because he knows they put that picture up in every federal government office.
Yeah.
And it's going to be like he's looking down on you and trying to scare you into quitting.
Believe me, it's working.
Yeah. all right, we have to take a brief break, and then we're going to come back with, you got anything good?
Things that are not about anything political.
Oh, okay. And I should
that'll be enough enticement for me.
Yeah, we'll try to do some of those. Should mention you are listening to WRT 89.9 FM. We're in Madison. You might be listening on the internet at WRTFM.org because we stream all of our shows, and you could be listening to our archives. You could be listening in the future because we put all of our shows up on the archives page, and I encourage you to get the WRT app. It's very handy, and I use it a lot, and I give it 10 thumbs up. Something like that. So, and also thanks to Mindless Minion D-Cubed, our hero, for doing the file management to get this show available on Spotify and Apple Pods and wherever you get your pods. So, all right, we're going to be back in about 2 minutes. See you soon.
Support for this program comes from WORT's listener sponsors and Isthmus Newspaper. Isthmus is back on newsstands the first Thursday of every month, and now a nonprofit. Isthmus continues to expand its independent coverage of local government, the arts, and all things Madison at isthmus.com.
WORT thanks its listener sponsors and the Wine and Hop Shop, located at 1919 Monroe Street, specializing in home brewing and winemaking supplies for over 40 years. Open to in-person shopping or order online for curbside pickup, in Madison delivery and shipping of supplies at wineandhop.com.
WORT thanks its listener sponsors and Bernie's Rock Shop, located at 901 East Johnson, and our new shop, Bernie's on Park, at 636 South Park in Madison. We offer handmade silver jewelry as well as unique mineral, crystal, and fossil specimens from around the world. Store hours and more information available at berniesrockshop.com.
WORT is keeping democracy alive with our 8th annual Chiliocracy at the Harmony Bar on Saturday, February 1st from 1 to 4 p.m. The Spine Stealers will entertain the crowd as they sample their way through chili from great area restaurants. Enter as an average Joe or a fat cat lobbyist and cast your vote for the Supreme Commander of Chili. Will the lobbyists sway the election? Will democracy prevail? Join us for this political mockery served in crockery. Complete details are available on our website at WORTFM.org. All proceeds benefit WORT Community Radio.
Song.
You like that song?
Yeah, we usually don't listen to that much of it.
No.
That's pretty good. Hey, they're pretty happy right now, certain people are at least, in Thailand.
Yeah.
Because after 20 years they've been waiting. They are decided, the Thai legislature has decided that same-sex marriage will now be official, now be legal in Thailand.
Wow.
And people are very excited there. Everyone's all lining up to get married. There was a big mass wedding ceremony where lots and lots of couples all got together. Hundreds joined for a mass wedding in Bangkok. And they were quoting some of the folks who participated. "I'm delighted and excited because we've been waiting for a very long time." Another participant said, "Today we feel secure and safe and happy. We are happy that we have played a part in the equal marriage law reaching this point." So this is a big deal for them. This is officials in Thailand figured that on the day, the first day it became law, that maybe 1,000 same-sex couples in the entire nation were married. And Thailand has recently had it's a little more tolerant, maybe possibly because of its background as a very strongly Buddhist nation. They've been They were the first nation back in 2022 in that area to legalize recreational marijuana. And the current prime minister presided over a big photo shoot with lots of couples that were planning to marry. And she said, January 23rd, 2025 will be the day that we all record history together, that the rainbow flag has finally been planted gracefully in Thailand. And let's see, there's another positive story I wanted to share with people. This is a little bit little old now. This is from last week, but Pope Francis appointed Sister Simona Brambilla to head the Vatican office that oversees religious orders of both men and women, which makes her the first person who's a woman to reach this position in the government of the Holy See. And of course, this is a part of Francis's general idea that women should be in more leadership positions. He's already named several women to high-ranking positions, including the director of the Vatican Museums. And according to Anne-Marie Peltier, who's a theologian, she's written a book about women in the church, she said, "This is very good news. It's something completely new, and it shows what can be done. For me, it's a real important moment." Let's see, a couple more positives here. Once I had another one. Oh, this was kind of fun. This is a historical story, but I still thought it was kind of cool. This is some work that's been done in archaeology in England has found some remains of a Celtic tribe that lived in Dorset. If you're not familiar with the geography of England, Dorset is that part of that little thing that hangs down on the left side of England.
The uvula.
The uvula, little peninsula that ends in Cornwall. Apparently, this tribe called the Durotriges, they lived in Dorset about 2,000 years ago, and they had a system of matriarchy, apparently.
Really?
It was a woman-centric society, the women remained in the ancestral community, and the men migrated out for marriage.
Oh.
So they were there's lots of higher animals that have a system like that.
I think I read that Ursula Le Guin.
You read that
story?
Yeah. I read that one too. Yeah, right, exactly. So they did the genomes of 57 Durotriegan people who were buried sometime between 100 BC and AD 100, and they found maternal lineages which are typical of this form of matriarchy, which is called matrilocality, which means, again, the women stay stable and they are the heart of the community, and the men are the ones that are sort of like the brides and go off somewhere else. So because of this, they were able to written record of this, but they were able to make some very strong arguments in favor of this going on. Individuals with ancestries unrelated to the dominant line were mostly men, which suggested that they had moved from other communities to live with the families of their wives. This is published in Nature, and it was a study done by Laura Cassidy. She's an assistant professor in genetics at Trinity College, Dublin.
That makes a lot of sense from a environmental standpoint. Mm-hmm. I mean, just to get that gene pool mixed up a little bit. I mean,
it's groom capture.
Yeah. Well, it makes a lot more sense than just like marrying the person that's like lives next door to you.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
And,
it's what elephants do. The males go off somewhere.
You get a lot more diversity though.
Yep,
right?
Exactly.
So,
yeah.
So I don't know. Is diversity good? I forget.
Genetic diversity? Yeah.
Yeah. Are we against that now or what?
See, that's why I am a very healthy man for my age, and I think it's because of one thing.
You're a mutt.
I'm a mutt. I'm a total mutt. My mother's parents were European immigrants and my dad's parents were hillbillies.
Yeah.
It's like they hadn't seen each other for like 400 years.
Yeah.
You know what
oh,
I mean?
Sure.
It's like
sure.
it's bound to create some
like
diversity.
Different species
there.
Mating.
Yeah. Well, that's what I thought when we lived in Kentucky. Don't you have more teeth down here?
How are they reproducing?
Frequently.
Are their offspring sterile or something?
Yeah,
frequently.
Right.
There's a study in the Journal of American Medicine, irritability and social media use in U.S. adults.
Yeah. Answer, yes.
Yeah. In the study of 42,000 U.S. adults, High levels of social media use, in particular frequent posting, were associated with greater irritability in cross-sectional analysis.
Wow.
The association between social media and irritability merits further attention, given the known associations between irritability and adverse outcomes.
See, I have a theory about this, which connects with the story that I wanted to share,
yeah,
which is a study that was recently done to basically see how fast we think relative to an artificial intelligence. And human thought is much slower, obviously, than you would imagine, than that. Measuring in terms of electrical impulses and so on, much slower than a computer would be. Engineers measured a flow in bits per second in terms of thinking. They streamed a high-definition video. That takes around 5 million BPS, and the download rate in a typical American home is about 262 million bits per second. But researchers have now estimated the speed of information flow in the human brain is 10 bits per second. And they published a study in a journal called Neuron. I get that every week. And it's called, under the title, The Unbearable Slowness of Being. And I actually do think this. I think there's a mismatch between the input that we get from all of the things that are around us and our ability to process that flow of information. I think we have a natural speed at which we process things, and we get overwhelmed.
Mm-hmm.
The intensity of change, the intensity of the flow of information, I think causes processing problems.
Yeah.
And I think that's where the irritability comes from.
Yeah, probably.
Besides the content. I mean, everyone focuses on the content, but I just think the structure itself, the structure of information transfer,
right,
is problematic.
Yeah, just like constant little pings kind of poking at you the whole time.
Stop poking at me!
Well, then you get into things like the fear of missing out and all that stuff, too. It's like, oh, I got to see, you know, I got to look at my phone. I got to see what's going on. And I mean, I get it. I do it. And it's very seductive.
One theory you may have heard is that people are so tired from the constant interactions that when it comes to actually having an interaction with a person in real time, physically, you're too wiped out.
Right.
You know, it's kind of like, well, I don't want to do that because I've just wasted all my mental energy doing this.
Right. You know? Yeah. Fighting with, you know, Rockstar 69 over here.
Exactly. Rockstar 69. So that's your handle. I'll be looking for that one.
Well, they found something similar with young men and boys who were really into pornography.
Yeah.
And then like they have like real sex. Some of them do.
Yeah.
A lot of them.
Yeah.
at some point in their life.
Yeah.
And it's kind of disappointing because it's not like it was in the movie.
Mm. And, never like it was in the movie. That's the fun of it.
Yeah. So.
So you're doing what?
So you've been in Kentucky, right?
Oh yeah, you bet. Many times.
A Kentucky lawmaker has introduced a bill limiting blood donations from people who have been vaccinated for COVID.
Of course he did.
No, it was a she.
Oh, look, it's little Marjorie Taylor Greene there.
Little Candy Massaroni.
Candy. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. She's from Bardstown.
Bardstown, yeah.
Yeah. So, but the legislation would block hospitals from transfusing blood containing COVID-19 antibodies or synthetic mRNA would severely reduce the state's blood supply, according to.
I was going to say, people. You really want to screw people over. That's the thing to do.
But then when she got some pushback on this, she said, oh, that was a mistake. No, that's the whole point of what you introduced. That was the whole point of your bill.
They're just trying to see what'll stick. Yeah.
It's like, well, they're just playing to the idiots out there too. But because if it's one
I was going to do that, but the woke media stopped me. As opposed to, that is the most moronic thing I've ever heard of.
I was canceled. Hear me talk about it.
Since you threw a little bit of politics in there, let me throw a little bit in too. I was very amused to read that Canada is currently planning some retaliatory tariffs.
I saw that.
And they're especially deciding that they might want to focus on red states, which I thought was interesting. So they're thinking about banning orange juice from Florida, basically, by having a big tariff on it. Whiskey from Tennessee and peanut butter. I didn't realize this was where peanut butter came from. From Kentucky.
Oh, really?
Well, yep. So they're peanuts. Getting ready for an all-out trade war because, of course, the current occupant of the presidency has made some kind of threats in that that way. Canadian officials will wait until Trump makes his move because you never know whether he's just being a big fat liar or not. But they're saying that they're going to basically exert the maximal political pain they can on parts of the United States that are the most all in with Trump's agenda. Melody Jody, who's the foreign minister of Canada, she met with a slew of Republicans to make her case, including Miss Lindsay, Jim Risch of Idaho, and John Thune of South Dakota. And he said she hoped that by reaching out to senior Republicans that maybe it do a little bit of a threat. You know, I mean, don't underestimate those Canadians. Where they fight pretty hard. They want to avert this trade war, but they're ready to go if they have to do it. That is an ugly cat. You're kind of flipping through the internet there, and that was an ugly cat. Why do people want to have animals whose faces are pushed in? I never understood that. Why that's aesthetically pleasing to anybody. I mean, it just looks like a really homely human, you know what I mean? It's like, let it be a cat, for God's sake.
Well, it's a picture illustrating a story.
Okay.
It says there's a campaign in the Netherlands to not complain for 30 days. It launched like last Monday, I think it was. So
Not
complain for 30 days in the Netherlands.
Don't they have a new right-wing government there, too?
It's the most, they said that it started on Blue Monday, which was like last Monday. It said the most depressing day of the year, according to a UK travel company.
Hmm.
So they're trying to make people try to be a little more positive this time of year because you can get down because of the weather and the darkness.
Sure.
And
I'm feeling pretty happy right now. I don't know why. I have no idea why. No. I should be very unhappy.
Oh, you should go to the Netherlands then and not complain.
Bring my joy along with me.
Champagne sales have sunk because people don't want to celebrate anymore. See, there's all these unexpected.
There's pop off in a plastic bottle if you really want to.
All these unexpected consequences.
I had a friend. I knew he had a drinking problem. When I saw him one day, I came over to visit, and he'd always had a little problem with drinking. But this isn't funny, but it just struck me as bizarre. He had this thing. It looked like a bleach bottle, and it said pop off in big letters on the side. And it's like the cheapest vodka you can get. It comes in this, this big plastic container jug. Yeah. I was like, oh, dude. I'm so like, don't drink that.
Right from the bottle.
Yeah. Oh, that's kind of bad. Hey, according to Robert F. Kennedy Jr., we will make America healthy again.
Really?
But I got to tell you, what's the thing with the again part? Do you know anything? Is this like going back to 1789 here? Because people were very unhealthy in the past. I mean, not only did people die young back in the day because there was no like way to deal with things like heart problems and stuff, but people actively did things to make themselves unwell, you know, like cigarettes and bad food and drinking was a huge problem and things like that. If you actually go back into the past, people were spectacularly unhealthy.
Mm-hmm.
And not only that, but, you know, it's true that ultra-processed foods, those are bad. But, you know, back in the day, they didn't have really any fruits or vegetables readily available at all.
Right.
And so you're looking at stuff like this and you're like, wow. I mean, some of the best ways that we know how the health of Americans looked is when we had wars, because you had to have large numbers of men all coming through and being weighed and measured and you know, examined all at the same time. And medical records, of course, associated with the Second World War was one reason why doctors were all telling mothers to get their mothers and fathers to get their boys circumcised, because nobody was taking care of their genital health. It was like, oh my God, no, that's disgusting. That kid a circumcision.
Not looking at another one of those.
Not another one of those. But there was lots of things like this apparently back in the day, like hernias. People had hernias sometimes as big as grapefruits, you know, just like held in by trusses. Lots of soldiers had heart valve problems by the time they were 60. You know, very few people have that problem now. Poor nutrition was a problem for a lot of people, and you start to think of like the Great Depression and so on. I mean, about when they had the flu virus, the 1918 flu,
you would just
675,000 people just died. I mean, that was just the way it was. And that, of course, was before they had those horrible vaccines that apparently we have to screen out of our blood supply. And, you know, even in the 1960s, you know, people are, you know, nostalgic for the 50s and 60s. And when things were, you know, relatively prosperous, I mean, there were still, I mean, I had chicken pox when I was a kid and things like that. Heart disease was rampant in the 50s. And heart disease was responsible for 1/3 of all deaths in the United States back in 1960. And, you know, this is when they say make America great again, this is what they're thinking back to,
yeah.
Right?
That way people can keel over when they're 60 and they won't have to pay out any Social Security to them.
But yeah. Well, that's what Social Security made sense at one time, actually.
Yeah.
Because
you
thought most people weren't going to use it.
Right. Well, I've noticed a lot of things, too, coming out of, like, the RFK and some of the other supporters of those types of things.
Yeah.
So they're talking a lot about personal responsibility, which is important. I mean, when take care of your health, are the number one variable.
Yeah.
You know, you can have a great doctor, you can have great health care, but you've got to be part of your own plan there and take care of yourself.
Yeah.
And which is good, but I know they're using this as a way to kind of like divide people and to say, well, it's your fault you got sick, so why should we pay for that?
Right.
And
those
types
like
of things.
Trump's like, we don't have to pay for natural disasters anymore.
Yeah. So yeah.
It's like the three biggest places that get money from the federal government for natural disasters are like Texas and Florida and Louisiana.
Sure, you know? Sure.
It's like, okay, all right, I guess we'll do that.
But the California ones, then we'll have some strings attached if we send them any money.
Yeah, and other things too. I mean, you're absolutely right that we're part of our own solution. But things like food deserts, I mean, they're called food deserts for a very good reason.
Yeah.
It's like you can't find anything that's healthy
in
some of those environments. And where's the discussion about that?
Well, if you want to make America healthy, make sure people have adequate access to health care, to good food,
and good jobs. Don't use all your farmland to grow grains for cows.
Yeah. I know some of it is for high fructose corn syrup.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Which RFK
like some tomato soup.
RFK hates, which is going to be a great collision course there.
See the thing,
there's a lot of money in that for the farmers and
the thing about it is you see how he got started on that, because there's a lot of those things that he says about the big agriculture and stuff that are exactly right.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
But unfortunately, it's kind of like a lot of folks. He just kind of once you get into a clique of people. No matter how good that is, somebody's always got to be more that than everybody else. Do you know what I mean? We remember this from back in the day. There's always got to be somebody.
Yeah.
You're in a group. We were in a political group.
You're not
at one
pure
point.
Enough.
Yeah, you're not pure enough. There's always got to be the person that's going to have dominance by being more insane than everybody else. And then it pushes the whole group in that direction. We know this from personal experience.
Walgreens says locking up products to prevent shoplifting hurts sales. Oh, really?
Yeah.
So locking up things means you sell less of them.
Yeah.
So
I don't want to ask anybody to go unlock that.
I don't either. It's always like the weirdest things, too, is like disposable razors or they had to lock up the Tide Pods for a while
because
people were eating them.
Yeah. Speaking of health and eating and so on, there's a little article I brought in that, they've done studies on this, and it's true that it's really good for you to eat your breakfast.
Yeah.
Eat your breakfast, damn it.
Get healthy again.
Plenty of adults skip breakfast because they're too rushed or distracted, or they just aren't hungry. But that's not a good idea. The key is to listen to your body.
Yeah.
You may think that you're fine without breakfast, but there could be consequences if you aren't paying attention.
The Jaguar's back.
Hey.
Hi.
Hello.
Do you have a second?
Do you eat breakfast, Jaguar?
Occasionally.
What do you have for breakfast?
Usually oats.
Cat food.
Good for you, me too.
Oats, yeah, unpasteurized.
No, not on pad. I just put them in the bag. So I hang it on my head.
Oh, put them over your eyes. Yeah, so they just get more puffy and squinty.
Yeah. Well, no, I blinders on when I
So you've been traveling. You were in Columbia, is that right?
Yeah. Oh yeah, that's right.
Not South Carolina either.
Not South Carolina. Mm-hmm. Not Missouri.
Hail Columbia.
There's probably Columbia in every state.
Probably
just like in Athens.
But you were like in the jungle. They're prowling around. Or?
Yes. Wow. I did not see a real jaguar. And I feel now that it's such a sacred animal in their society and their culture. I feel it, like having the name real jaguar feels a little sacrilegious.
Oh.
But that's,
I think you should see it as inspirational
or
aspirational.
I'm getting through that. Okay. Yeah, no, it was wonderful.
Spent
16
cool.
days. I have an open invitation to DJ in Bogota.
Oh, very cool.
And so. I will be on my show. I'm going to be sharing a bunch of music that I got in Colombia.
Excellent.
So, and other Latin gems that I've already
cool,
had.
Cool,
so.
Looking forward to it. All right, we got to get out of here, but I just
great forward promotion
go
there.
Go into my show.
No, it messes up the podcast. We got to have some integrity.
Look
in
for
the,
unpasteurized oats. It's very
healthy. Time integrity is important. It's 2 o'clock. You're listening to WRT 89.9 FM Madison. Pantsel, it's great to see you again. Time to declare. The weekend. Enjoy your weekend. Stick around, everybody. The kiosk is next. And then after that, who cooks for you with the real jaguar back from Colombia?
This is the Incision Cleaner Kiosk for Friday, January 24th.
It's been my honor to know a few real heroes, people who have selflessly dared to fight greed and oppression to advance the common good. Diane Wilson, for example. For 40 years, this fiery fourth-generation fisherwoman from the Texas Gulf Coast has battled tenaciously for the rights and very survival of the area's hardscrabble fishing families. She and her grassroots allies have taken on Formosa Plastics, a $250 billion global corporate beast that has routinely dumped its chemical waste around Matagorda Bay, poisoning life and livelihoods. But in 2019, in a lawsuit based on massive evidence collected by Wilson and